Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe in with you all here this weekend. Happy to have you on board the program. And for those of you who haven't listened to the show before, well, you're in for a real treat. We got a great guest lined up. We actually have them for two segments. We are very lucky. And we can be found at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. That's our website. Main Street Radio Network supports our show. We appreciate that. Sometimes our clients disagree with content. And despite that, the company has our backs. They support the First Amendment. We appreciate that. We also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. And, of course, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. You can find previous editions of the show up there as well. You can find out more information about the show, about its hosts. And you can also find our sister show, The Alan Nathan Show, up there as well. But we are on social media. Main Street Radio Network has its social media pages on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, on Twitter at Main Street Radio, on Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network. And, of course, we are on our own page, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. And if you ever check out the Alan Nathan Show, well, they're at AlanNathan.com, on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com as well. They have their own social media, too, on Twitter, at Alan Nathan. They also post on the Main Street Radio Network pages. All right, now that that's all out of the way, right, we got to get right on to our guest because he has a lot to say. We have Dr. William Bronson. He's a psychiatrist, activist, and former medical director of the Department of Developmental Disabilities at the California Department of Health, and he's author of the new book, an autobiography, Public Hostage, Public Ransom, Ending Institutional America. Dr. Bronson, happy having the show. How are you today?
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be with you, sir.
All right, glad to have you. So first, tell us about the book.
The book was written over a period of 50 years after I finished working in New York State at this true American concentration camp for people with developmental disabilities called Willowbrook State School. And essentially, it's the story of how I organized and coordinated a federal class action for crimes against humanity against the governor and the state of New York for administering this horrendous, wretched, suffering place that contained 6,000 broken people that were there being held as public hostages for Medicaid money, public ransom that kept them there, even though only a small fraction of the money that came in every single day from Medicaid was used in order to manage the situation with the residents, with the hostages.
Well, how did things get to that state? Surely the families must have known something was going on, and why weren't there any laws in place to protect against that sort of thing?
Very good question, sir. So first of all, the families were kept at arm's distance. They did not know what was going on, and each of them was essentially handled in such a way that their guilt and their frustration and that their sadness was used to keep them isolated. They never met, they never talked to each other until we began working to bring them into the buildings for the very first time to see why their relative was so terribly physically battered, you know, and destroyed over a period of time. With regard to the laws, we're coming out of a period historically where people with special needs, people with mental retardation, autism, cerebral palsy, learning disabilities, were essentially all seen as surplus population, unwanted population, and were universally assigned to out-of-home, segregated, congregate, institutional lives. And there was no programming. The public system did not accept kids with special needs into the schools, into the community, until the disability movement mobilized major legislation that then changed everything, changing the education system to individualize each individual kid, and then ultimately leading to the Americans with Disabilities Act that assured full integration and inclusion of everybody regardless of their disability, and then ultimately the Olmstead ruling that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg, issued that essentially outlawed institutionalization for people with developmental disabilities, which has not been put into practice.
But what? How long ago was that? Why hasn't it been put into practice yet?
Because our culture, our society, essentially does not identify with major differentness, and the caste and class and race and disability prejudice against people that are different, that look different, that act different, is so deep-seated. You know, now there's been tremendous progress, and many of the schools now take children with special needs, but they don't necessarily integrate them in classes and don't provide the staffing, the individualized staffing, in order to make sure that the children are respected and ennobled in the school programs. The same thing goes when they reach the age of finishing the education system to get into the workforce. They're seen as special needs and put into low expectation situations. It's a cultural problem, no different than the way in which women are treated in our society, the way in which people of color are treated in our society, and the people with disabilities are at the bottom of the barrel. They are the least respected, the least cared for, the least empowered people in our culture, which we have the ability to radically transform.
And this must have been disheartening to you all these years. You know, this is 1975 with the Willowbrook stuff happening. So you've been watching this evolve over time. Well, evolve is the wrong word. You've been watching it stagnate over time.
The problem, the real problem for your listeners is to understand that each one of them is going to become developmentally disabled as they age, and the only solution that our society has for people with ordinary incomes is ultimate institutionalization, nursing home, supported living, hospice programs, all of which are being privatized because people that are pushed out of the workforce are monetized in a different way, commodified in a different way, congregated in a different way, and all of us, you, me, all of us, are destined to end up in an institution unless we change the system and establish universal, rightful, single-payer health care in America.
Yeah, well, I'll get to that in the next segment. For this segment, though, you know, this what we're getting from these institutions, even for us who end up going there as we get aged, you know, I had a grandmother who went through the system. It was absolutely awful for the money that was being paid. And actually,
exactly.
Right now, I know somebody who's going through it. You know, for the money that you're paying, you're getting almost nothing. You know, you're getting nurses who may or may not even care. And just the accommodations are absolutely awful.
That's what the book is all about. The book is a major tome to address this universal crime against our society. And it has to be changed only by all of us essentially understanding that we need to change the medical market system to a true healthcare system, and we need to maintain full integration and full inclusion of everybody that's really different in our society in the most caring and imaginative way. That's not happening in America. And what's happening is things are getting worse and worse, and there's more and more institutionalization. And everybody listening has a horror story about some relative that was put into an institution and either died early or suffered tremendously from the kind of situation that you describe with your relative.
Mm-hmm. And we also have instances of mental illness on the rise in our society as well, just across every age group. You know, you mentioned institutionalizations going up, increasing, but we also just have, in general, you know, non-institutionalized mental illness going up, which could possibly lead to that at some point down the road.
The reason why we have this institutionalization is that Medicaid, Title 19 Medicaid, essentially finances the construction of this institutional culture. Medicaid has invested $6 trillion into institutionalizing our society such that people can't even remember when it was before Medicaid financing and out-of-home placement that we resolved and solved the problems of our dependent relatives, our dependent members of the community. I mean, the situation requires social imagination. It requires new law. It requires a radical transformation of the way in which public money is spent to care for people that have health and social needs. The whole issue of the mental health crisis that we're facing really comes from the profound alienation and the stresses and the insecurity that is embedded in American culture, you know, pending, for example, the 2024 election or whatever it is that you are understanding, people are very terrified and very insecure because there's no assurance that if something goes wrong, you'll be able to cope with it if you don't have endless money. The issue is to change the way money is used, applied, and to fundamentally understand that we are one family, one brothers and sisters, all of us, and regardless of how different our confreres are, we have a common destiny and a common culture that we have to construct that is caring, nurturing, merciful, tender, imaginative, creative, and competent.
All right, Dr. Bronson, appreciate you talking about this, and we're going to have you stick around for the next segment as well. And listeners, stay around as well. There's more to hear, much more vital information to get out there as the Silker Joe Show continues after this break.
Wine Country by rising country star Hannah Ellis. After 10 years of carving out her own space in Music City, the Kentucky native now introduces her debut album, That Girl, available now. Named by Rolling Stone Country as an artist to watch and a CMT Listen Up artist, Hannah Ellis has appeared on the Grand Ole Opry several times and toured with stars such as Billy Currington, Gavin DeGraw, and Carly Pierce. That Girl reveals a seasoned songwriter embracing her small-town roots, her real-life romance, and her relatable artistic voice. Hannah Ellis told us about the inspiration for the new album.
The heart of country music is storytelling. Life itself is the inspiration behind this record. Whether it's my sister's breakup, my insecurities, or falling in love, I'm just living my life with a pen and a microphone.
That Girl is now available wherever you get music. For more, visit HannahEllisMusic.com.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland, who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about. Weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake, Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. We're still joined by Dr. William Bronston, psychiatrist, activist, and former medical director of the Department of Developmental Disabilities at the California Department of Health. And he is author of the new book, Public Hostage, Public Ransom, Ending Institutional America. Now, Dr. Bronston, in the last segment, you said that universal single-payer healthcare would be a solution to this horrific problem of institutionalization we have, and for-profit institutionalization, low quality care at extremely expensive rates. Tell us about this.
Well, there's a website that I put together with 40 of my peers called ourhealth.pub.public. And people can go to that website and spend some time looking at it. It is the most ideal model of what a true public health-run system would be like in America if we were able to establish the public policy for that, which would require either the Congress or legislatures at the state level or a direct vote of the people through a proposition would essentially establish. My book carries people through from the beginning of the problem to the end of the problem in terms of the true strategic solution. It has 380 pages. There's 80 photographs in the book that shows that are grouped in four batches that show the violence of the institution, not spectacle and not grotesqueness, but the evil of congregate, segregated institutional living. And the thing that struck me from very early on, as I understood the situation very early, was that I was going to wind up in an institution as I aged. And that if we didn't end the way in which people with special needs were treated and excluded from and segregated from society, that essentially we were going to be victimized ourselves as we became infirm or dependent in some way, either cognitively or physically or medically or whatever. The book is unique. It's an inside story, a documentary narrative of my struggle in order to put the change together to close this monstrosity, and then to explain to the reader what the strategic solution would be that would transform our society, change the way we see each other, change the way we care about each other, change the way we finance services so that there would be no out-of-pocket expenditure of any kind at the point of service of anybody in a universal single-payer healthcare in America. Everything would be funded through a tax finance system in a single trust fund in the governmental apparatus that would be essentially protected from being exploited or used for other purposes, and would have 100% of the money to care for people that vendors, professional providers, would bill after they took care of the people that they were serving. There would be no medical networks. There would be no privatization. It would be owned by the general public. And that is the radical solution, similar to what we have to deal with in terms of climate change, similar to what we have to do with ending poverty. We need big, big ideas, creative ideas, enormous courage, and compassion.
Now, I will add that this is sort of a right-wing show, sort of. It is a right-wing show with a right-wing audience, so universal single-payer leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, but that's because, you know, everything that we see proposed has been total crap. Like you mentioned, like Obamacare, for example. That was like a handout to Big Pharma, but the Republicans packaged it as socialism.
Absolutely, a catastrophe, Joseph. It's all public money essentially plowed into corporatization of the care system. And people, regardless of their politics, have personal experience in terms of their dignity, their integrity, their patience, their well-being. And all you have to do is look around you in your own family to see that we need a more profound solution, a more conservative solution that means caring for everybody, making sure people have choice, making sure we underline liberty and freedom for people. This isn't a left or a right issue. This is essentially an effort to humanize our culture, to make sure that nobody is insecure, nobody is fearful, and nobody feels that something could happen to them that they may not be able to cope with, and to have money as the total solution for security and well-being. In healthcare, that is immoral and fundamentally unacceptable. And your audience has to feel through that and understand by looking at their own family experience the need for a strategic transformation in the delivery system in America.
Right. Yeah, something that would just avoid the worst of both the communist excessives and capitalist excessives like we have right now with, you know, the government program Medicare that leads to far outrageous prices for everybody.
Exactly. I mean, Medicare services about 80% of public money of what people need. The problem is that we're now spending close to 85% of every health dollar, medical dollar, is a public dollar. And were we to convert that into a true system that served everybody, people would be profoundly transformed and freed. Job lock would end. The way in which people are pushed into having to spend an enormous amount of their money that should come into their pockets rather than into the corporation's pockets in terms of the way in which medical services, the market system, operates. The book is a profound explanation and story of how we need to understand what would be a true solution in our culture and in our society, whether you're on the right or on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems people have just come to, as we were discussing the last segment, have just come to accept the status quo, the way things are right now.
Exactly.
And a part of it, too, is just how the costs are hidden from us a little bit. You go to the hospital or whatever, you get the bill later on, but unless you ask for an itemized account, you don't see what exactly you were billed for. And, you know, my grandmother, this is 10 years ago, she was in the hospital overnight, $69 for an aspirin tablet. 10 years ago, for one pill that you can
Incredible.
Get over the counter, a bottle of 100 for $5.
Barbarous. It's barbarous. I was in the hospital for 6 days a month ago with COVID. And the bill that I got was $150,000 for being in the hospital for 6 days with COVID pneumonia. So I'm right with you. And as a physician, I want to make sure that everybody is secure and not fearful of something happening that they can't cope with or that their relatives can't cope with. We need to be able to function in society with freedom and liberty and confidence in our ability to navigate day to day and to accomplish what we need to accomplish in our lives. Without a guaranteed healthcare system in place, that's not possible.
No, that's just, you know, people, you know, the right hears healthcare is a fundamental right and they think universal pay or socialism, blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's not entirely wrong in this. It's just that, like, our politicians have conditioned us to think that certain things should be framed in a left or right attitude when that's not the case. And really, neither side of the aisle has proposed a clear-cut solution so far that isn't just absolute trash.
The problem is that our politicians are taking big money from the major medical industrial cartels, the pharmaceutical cartels, the hospital cartels, and the insurance cartels. Nobody likes their insurance company. People should have full choice of any care provider that they want to go to or need to go to without prohibition. They should not be getting extra billing. They should not be essentially paying over what they're paying into insurance. We don't need an insurance system. What we need is a payment system that makes sure that everybody lives the longest possible, healthy, robust life possible and contributes to a robust culture.
Dr. William Bronson, appreciate being on the Silker Joe Show. Listeners, his book is Public Hostage, Public Ransom.
I'm Marissa Brainy with some party hosting tips for your game day watch party in partnership with Target, my favorite one-stop shop. This year, Target's pulled together three game day spreads for under $25, a cheeseburger taco board, fun twist on a traditional, a wing basket, gotta have those wings, and a nacho bar. Love these for great finger food options that won't break the bank. If you're looking for snacks, Target's Good & Gather brand has you covered, from chips and popcorns to great dips. And in terms of drinks, you want some non-alcoholic versions as well. So think about varieties like Lagunitas, Athletic Brewing Co., and Good & Gather's Sparkling Water. The cherry cola flavor is a must. Don't forget, Target offers same-day delivery and drive-up options, which make it really easy to stick to your list and your budget. Just head to Target.com or the Target app.
Hello, I'm Peter Castleman, and I'm the co-author of this book, Eat to Think. We come into this world with a beautiful brain. The most amazing part about the brain is it's designed to regenerate, not deteriorate. Yet we're starting to eat foods that destroy our brains. The result is a crisis of cognition decline. 1 in 3 seniors are dying with some form of dementia. It does not have to be this way. We wrote this book, Eat to Think, because 97% of your brain health you control. And in this book is a roadmap to try to understand the brain and a path to how you improve your brain health. Go to eattothink.com, download a free version of the book, as well as other products that we can give you to help you start your journey to improve your brain health.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So for those of you wondering what the hell I was doing in the last two segments talking with a liberal, well, you know, yes, in my opinion, universal single-payer healthcare is possible and necessary. It's just no one has done it correctly, as if there is a correct way to do it. Although, in my opinion, I think it's more of a human problem than anything else, because humans can't do anything right. We can't be trusted with anything. So, that is my two cents worth. It's possibly practical, possible, and necessary. The trouble is, humans are incapable of doing anything of the kind. Anyway, but there is significant problems with the system that we have already, and it does need severe reform. And you know, I'm just happy to have on a leftist who agrees with me that both parties are working for the corporate interest. And, you know, you have that Obamacare stuff that the Republicans painted as socialism, but it's like, and I admit I was on board with it too. Oh yeah, this is socialism, government ran, blah, blah, blah. But actually it's more akin to fascism, the way it worked, with just all these big handouts that you're being forced to give to corporations, and probably some corporate lobbyists were the ones who wrote the bill. You know, that's why Nancy Pelosi had no clue what was in it. It was the lobbyists who wrote it, not her. So, you know, that's the bill that famously she said, you have to pass the bill to know what's in it. So they passed it, and they didn't know what was in it. They just knew that, I guess, their lobbyists told them, yeah, this is fine, go with it. Even though it was, even one of the architects of Obamacare admitted it didn't really do anything to solve the healthcare crisis. It just, you had the same number of people that would have been uninsured from beginning to end. They just shifted who that population was. And then they gave a bunch of corporate handouts, and they tried to write it off to their own voters as single-payer, or not single-payer, as being vaguely socialist or whatever, and then Republicans ran with that too. But then it was a smokescreen, and it was nothing of the kind, and I was amazed that Republicans actually cut some of the stuff that benefited corporations in retrospect. But I guess they felt they had to do something to deliver promises to their voters. Anyway, we are moving on now to more topics, smashing Democrats, of course, and the left. Let's have clip 17 here, please.
It was entirely on their terms in order to get the negotiation didn't have a path to citizenship. It was entirely on their terms in order to get Ukraine funding, right?
Well, I mean, Chris, that's been a failed play for 20 years. So right. You are right that that has been the Democratic strategy for 30 years, maybe. And it has failed to deliver for the people we care about most, the undocumented Americans that are in this country. This is also not 2013 any longer, when we ran that play last.
All right. So what you just heard was an exchange from MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes between the host, Chris, the first voice you heard, followed by Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat out of Connecticut, the second voice you heard, and one of the architects of the Senate border deal. And Chris Hayes is rightly noting that the horrific border deal was just a way to get money to Ukraine. And actually, Senator J.D. Vance, Republican out of Ohio, would tend to agree with that in another statement that he made. But I actually have that clip. I'm not going to play because I have to get to what I have to finish with this clip first, because the most important part of it wasn't that MSNBC's host agreed with a Republican senator for once. Rather, the most important part was what the Democrat senator said, that all this time, illegal immigrants have been the ones that they care about the most. He outright said that. He said that they couldn't do what they tried to do for the group they care about the most, undocumented immigrants. And that really explains a lot of what's going on in the Democrat Party right now. Basically, they've abandoned the black voters for the illegal immigrants. And you see that in Chicago, that's not quite playing out the way they hoped. You have the black community in uproar over there. Perhaps not a very big uproar, but you have maybe the conservative media is just highlighting the small segment of the population, but there are people in absolute uproar over it. In fact, I've mentioned it before, there was an alleged attempted trans mass shooter who part of her grievance was, even though she's a radical leftist, part of her grievance, and the FBI painted her as a right-wing extremist, I just have to add that little note in there, part of her grievance, though, was that illegal immigrants were getting a lot more benefits than the trans community was, even though trans folks are citizens of this country, and they elect the politicians allegedly to serve their interests, but then here they go, giving all these people who don't even belong here benefits that she felt rightly belonged to the trans community. And that they refused to provide. So they're treating all aspects of society inferior to how they treat illegal immigrants. And again, the black communities are, some of them are getting pretty upset about this because they're seeing their welfare benefits and all and housing that should be dedicated to low-income folks like them. You know, that kind of implies actually that all blacks are low income, but like that's just in some of these areas, that is pretty much the case though. Some of these areas where the illegal immigrants are being shuttled to, it is largely low income African Americans and, well, low income black Americans. Elon Musk is African American and Lord knows he ain't low income. But so you have these low income blacks who live in these areas and have housing, you know, that's supposed to help them out, but that housing gets yanked away from them and given to illegal immigrants. Of course, they're going to get mad. And then you have the illegal immigrants just absolutely, totally disrespectful of anything that's going on with them, you know, beating up police officers, tearing up hotel rooms, all sorts of nasty stuff that they're doing. And not to mention the crimes like rape and murder, of course, but that's apparently not worth deporting them over, so I guess I shouldn't bother mentioning them because that's nothing, according to the left. So they're really feeling, some of the Democrats' principal voters are really feeling abandoned by this. And I'm actually surprised the unions haven't gotten in on the act yet, because these illegal immigrants are a threat to them as well. Of course, they seem to be in support of the Democrats hardcore no matter what. But there's a problem, though, that they seem to be ignoring, and said if the Democrat Party is forsaking black voters for illegal immigrants, how long before they forsake union voters for illegal immigrants? Or maybe these unions' leaders who decide where union money goes, you know, they get enough graft and grift that they're so far wealthy, they're wealthy enough that they're so far removed from the problem that their own union members face that they don't actually care what happens with illegals. Because as Obama himself pointed out in his Grammy-winning book, yes, his, well, the audiobook adaptation won a Grammy, so I get to say Grammy-winning book, he said that illegal immigrants, when they come in, they depress wages, strain social safety nets. That's exactly what's happening. That's why many blacks are straying from the Democrat Party, or at least the party line. And that's why union members should be concerned, and actually union leaders, because, well, if you lose your members because a bunch of illegal immigrants are getting these jobs, and remember, the Department of Justice is going after Elon Musk, gotta bring his name up again, because he did not hire illegal immigrants, all right? They're saying he discriminated by not hiring illegal immigrants, even though that is supposedly illegal to do, hiring illegal immigrants. And thus, Elon Musk is being gone after by the Justice Department. So unions should look out for that too, because what happens when the DOJ goes after employers for hiring union workers instead of illegal immigrants? You know, because they turned on the black community. They've abandoned the trans community, at least in the eyes of one person. So how long before the unions are abandoned as well for this new crop of illegal immigrants? And Democrats get a lot out of these illegal immigrants, by the way. Even, yes, they do vote, but they don't have to in order to benefit Democrats, okay? You just stack them in conservative areas, but like blue areas inside the conservative areas. You know, for example, Northern Virginia probably has a quarter of the actual population that it does, but it's just the rest are illegal immigrants, so that means they get extra congressmen. And supposedly that's how they managed to stack the deck in their favor, and actually in California, New York, and all that during the 2020 census, it was found all these illegal immigrants are over there, so they reapportioned congressmen based on that. Because for some bizarro reason, illegal immigrants are counted for congressmen, for deciding who gets a congressman in that area. So, you know, let's say you have a solid red state like Texas, but then you have a solid blue area like Austin. If you pack all the illegal immigrants you can into Austin, well, suddenly Austin gets a lot more congressmen. And, you know, theoretically, it's possible that if Austin had more illegal immigrants than the rest of the state of Texas had anybody, the city of Austin could get all of Texas's congressmen. That's just how it works. And, of course, even though there's like maybe 5 or 10, you know, this is exaggeration, but it's technically possible, you have 5 or 10 Democrat voters, 10 million illegal immigrants in an area, that they get a congressman just for 5 or 10 Democrat voters. That's how they can stack the deck. Okay, now the actual numbers ain't going to work out that way, but you get the point of what I'm saying. It's just for example purposes here. This is how they can do it, how they can get congressmen on the cheap, and how eventually they can win Congress and have a solid lock on Congress for decades to come without actually being able to win any popular votes anywhere. That is, until they use their congressmen to pass legislation to allow illegal immigrants to vote. Which, again, some states actually have legalized it for illegal immigrants to vote. You know, they say, oh, it's only limited to, like, the city council or school board, but you can't trust it. In fact, they've had so many errors in the system that it really didn't matter what they said. What ended up being happening in practice, illegal immigrants ended up voting. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
According to iStock's visual GPS research, over 75% of people globally are already using some form of AI technology in their day-to-day work. Grant Farhall, Chief Product Officer at iStock, says when using AI, it's all about creating meaningful connections with your audience.
Our own research shows that over 40% of small and mid-sized businesses are using AI-generated content for marketing purposes. Generative AI tools can help businesses create those important connections that drive long-term value if done correctly.
iStock by Getty Images has released a new tool, Generative AI by iStock, which allows businesses to safely turn their creative vision into powerful content.
Generative AI by iStock empowers you to create compelling visuals to engage your audience. You can explore using AI with confidence by creating images and then downloading them with a commercial license and iStock's standard legal indemnification.
For more, visit ai.istockphoto.com/ITT.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming, layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with us through this hour of the Silker Joe Show. We're in the last segment now. Only got 9 minutes left with you all this weekend. So Nikki Haley, she had a rough week. And regardless of what she thinks that the outcome of the Nevada caucus means, the Nevada primary was that she's not going to live that one down. So I forgot if it was on the Alan Nathan Show. It was probably on the Alan Nathan Show when I guest hosted one time last week that I discussed this with a guest, how Nikki Haley really should have dropped out before South Carolina, because to lose South Carolina, we thought, would be the most embarrassing thing. It's her home state. And if she tried to campaign again in 2028, I had the number visualized 2028, but then my eyes were focused on the clock in the lower right-hand corner of my screen and said 24. All right, so if Nikki Haley plans to run in 2028, losing her home state of South Carolina would, you know, be a major albatross, and she just won't be able to overcome it, because everyone could say, hey, last time you ran, you can even win your home state. What makes you think you're going to have any luck right now? So that, we thought, would be the most embarrassing thing that could happen to her. I think we were off a little bit. So there was Nevada. They did two things. They did the caucus, which y'all know about, and then they did the primary vote as well. The reason they did that is the state of Nevada signed some new law after 2020, maybe to try and stop Trump or something, I don't know. But they signed some new law requiring that every state have that for the elections they run a primary. They can't do the caucus system anymore. Well, the Nevada GOP, they like the caucus system, so they said, well, you know what, we'll have this twofold. We'll do a primary system, which means nothing, then we'll do the caucus system, which is where the delegates are actually handed out. And because of that, Trump said, you know what, I'm not even going to participate in the primary. It's pointless. It's theater. I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to do the caucus instead. Meanwhile, Nikki Haley, she decided, I'm going to be in the primary race. Well, since everyone else has pulled out of the overall national primary, that meant that when it came time to do the primary vote, it was Nikki Haley, two candidates that had dropped out already. I think Tim Scott and Mike Pence were the ones there. And that was it. There was also a none of the above section. Guess who won? None of the above. 61% of Nevada primary voters put in none of the above. 31% put in Nikki Haley. So when she is literally the only candidate on the ballot, she can't win. That is something that is going to hang with her in 2028. Maybe even more than losing her home state. We'll see how that goes in, I guess, a month. But it's the end of this month, I think. Not 1 month from now. It's like 20 days from now. Super Tuesday is in a month. I don't think she'll last that long. But here's her reaction to it, though. She said that, this primary thing, it was rigged against me. Fake election, it was rigged. Now, the thing is, though, it wasn't. There was no one saying that there was no fake votes put in. There was no hammer scorecard applied. There was no mail-in ballots. There's no ballot fraud, voter fraud, nothing of the kind. Voters just roundly rejected her. And she said, as a result, that, oh, this must be a fraud. It's a fake election rigged against me. Here's the thing, though. She actually went against Trump for saying such things about the 2020 election. It's very hypocritical on her part, and just, I guess, part of this self-destructive habit that the establishment GOP has. The other evidence of that, and this has been a bad week for the establishment GOP, too, because the other part of this week was the border deal, where they allow in, you know, we were saying 5,000 a day on the last week. I forgot if I mentioned on the Silker Joe show, but I know I mentioned on the Al Nathan show, 5,000 a day. Actually, the number would be 8,500 a day that would be permitted in. And the process of permitting them in is there's no checks or anything. You just ask three questions and hope that they answer honestly. There's no background check done on the people you actually, the illegals that you actually let in. Ask them three questions, give them a work permit, send them on their way. That's what the Biden administration has. They're funding government jobs where literally the only job they have is ask these three questions, then sign off on. Why even bother asking the three questions? Just give them the work permits. They're going to lie anyway. Even if they were telling the truth, it wouldn't matter. You're just, you would let them in if they were lying. You have no way to verify if they're telling the truth or not. They'd have to be the stupidest of the stupid in order to not pass this. So it means nothing. And you know, they say, oh, we'll close the border if it exceeds this number. But no, they won't. They're still going to allow people to cross if they claim that they want asylum. And to get asylum, you just answer, you just lie. That's all you have to do. No one checks. It's months, if not years, before anyone gets back around to you. And they say, well, give ankle monitors to these people. Yeah, you can easily cut them off with something from the Home Depot. That's no problem. And then just disappear into the country somewhere. No one's tracking them. It doesn't matter. And as we played in the last segment, illegals are the people that Democrats care about the most. So, of course, they're fine with that. But the thing is, the Senate GOP had this bill that they said was such a great thing. And they tried to say it was a great thing. And they tried to say that the only reason that you'd be opposed to it is because of Trump. Now, eventually they caved in, and Mitch McConnell, who was championing it, who helped negotiate the deal, who was praised by Democrats for helping to negotiate this border deal, he ended up having to back out on it and say, well, you know what, it's just not the right time for this sort of thing anymore. It was never the right time for this sort of thing. What the hell is he talking about? Allowing in 2 million people a year? It's never the right time for that. Unvetted? Absolutely not. But that's what he thought people wanted, or is this just part of the overall establishment GOP strategy to destroy the party? Because here's the thing. This will lead to a lack of enthusiasm with establishment Republicans going into this fall, and you're going to hear all about how they failed to, this is the border deal they proposed, and how they failed to impeach Mayorkas and just their general failings, and maybe the GOP establishment, they're already out there blaming Trump for this, by the way. So maybe they're hoping that in the fall, you'll think that it's all Trump's fault that you didn't get border security. It's all Trump's fault that Mayorkas wasn't impeached. It's all blame Trump for it, even though it was the GOP establishment sabotaging itself. They have tried this play before, I've mentioned it, 2022. They sabotaged the midterms and then tried to blame the Trump candidates for the failings of the establishment GOP and the deliberate sabotage by the establishment GOP. Looks like they're trying to do it again, and they're just hoping you're stupid enough not to realize it. And even before this border deal came out, they had this narrative that Trump would be responsible for opposing it. And now they're just going to run with it, I guess, into the election and hope that you don't vote for Trump and hope that this is a repudiation of the Trump movement so that the establishment GOP can reclaim power and get back to the grift and uselessness that have been plaguing us for 10 years now. Thank you for tuning into this week of the Silk Word Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.